end, you just follow along with what's coming through on the live games. And don't and roll too. So count me down, and we're gonna go. You got.
A look inside Everbank Field in Jacksonville. The renovation is underway. They're removing seats from the club areas. And we come up to Indianapolis, the division rival Indianapolis Colts, home of Lucas Oil Stadium. We'll be here for the next few days for the 2016 NFL Scouting Combine. Welcome inside the Media Center in Indianapolis. J.P. Shadrick with you on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Glad you're with us today. Here's what's coming up on the show here at Lucas Oil Stadium a little bit today. Combine open for business officially today. Players start arriving. We'll look ahead to the week in Indianapolis and focus on some players to watch coming up this week here at Lucas Oil Stadium. John Osier's with us now, Jaguars.com senior writer. Here we are.
Isn't the internet a great thing? Here we are in Indy, and they're watching us all over the world. It's kind of an amazing thing, JP.
That is how it works.
Here we are.
That's right.
We got cores, we got all kinds of stuff. So let's talk some football.
And you can see behind us now the media center is starting to get set up. It really starts bustling in here tomorrow when all the national folks are here really for the first time. We're a little bit early today, but to get ahead of the game a little bit. You know, this has turned in, though, to John, one of the real big events in the offseason calendar in the National Football League. It's always been a big event, at least on the field, for the teams involved in it, interviewing players and such, but the coverage of the event has changed over the years.
Well, people who have watched this a while have probably heard this story, but my first combine was 2001, I think, and at that point, you didn't have players on the podium. If you wanted players, you had to go to a hotel across the street and sort of wait for them.
Yeah.
Coaches and GMs in what has become sort of a staple of the combine, which is coaches and GMs talking to the media and updating fans on their team. That didn't happen in 2001. That really started developing 04, 05-ish, I want to say. And the media crush, the huge room that you really can't see, radio row, there didn't used to be a radio row. So here I am, the old-timer, talking about old times. But it's really become an event where fans expect to hear an update on their team. They expect to hear about the players coming in, and they expect to hear sort of a buzz about the league. It's where the league sort of hits the reset button and gets started. That has become a new thing. And once again, the NFL, they want to matter every month. They want to have something going on throughout the offseason. The combine is February, and it's really been created maybe in the last 10 or 15 years or so in that vein.
You know, I don't know how many times we'll hear the term underwear Olympics this week, but there's one at least. That's what this event is about. The on-field testing is a big part of this thing. The 40-yard dash, of course, the shuttle, the cone drills, the broad jump, all the stuff that happens on the field. But there is a little rumbling now the last couple of weeks that there could be some changes to the on-field portion of the combine. It hasn't changed in years. Why start now,
I guess? I think you're going to hear the phrase underwear Olympics a lot more because now it's being mentioned critically a lot more.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, his quotes are what made the headline, and people have always sort of buzzed about, well, why are they running 40s in Under Armour, basically underwear? Why aren't they in pads, or why aren't they doing more football things? And Belichick made the point, and many have made the point over the years, that these rookies spend all this time training for the combine and for their pro days, and they really use skills. The thing that really comes to mind is the 40-yard dash start. Well, that's a skill you never use in the NFL, and they spend months training to take a tenth of a second off their 40-yard dash. Does it matter? Well, the argument for taking it away is that these guys would be able to judge these players on the field more in football stuff. The argument for leaving it the way it is that at some point you want to be able to compare this year's prospects to last year's, to 1980, to 1999. If you change the format of the combine too much, are you taking away that body of work or that institutional memory of players that scouts do value? I don't know how much it really needs to change. I don't know how much you're going to get. Say they put them out there in pads and watch them catch passes.
Yeah.
Well, it's still not going to be with a defender. it's still not going to be in a football environment. So I don't know how much that'll do. You're not going to have one-on-one blocking drills at the combine, I don't think.
How about this?
You're not going to have one-on-one pass rush.
What if they did? Why don't they?
Well, because you want to minimize injury risk as much as possible. I think there are already players who don't go to the Senior Bowl for that reason.
That's right. Yep.
So if you have the sort of thing that you're talking about, if you have one-on-one pass rush drill or live scrimmage, if you, is that
just
what you're saying?
Yeah, 22 on the field. Let's go. Yeah.
You're going to have back to what it was before the NFL Network took over. There was always an issue here with the top guys not wanting to compete.
Got it.
Well, if you put them out there in pads into more risky situation, then I think you're back to not having the top guys compete, which is what nobody wants.
Here's the schedule this week. Some players start arriving today. Offensive line, running backs, they'll speak with the media Wednesday. It's a media day, and then 2 days later, the position groups are on the field. So Wednesday, offensive line, running backs speak with the media. They're on the field on Friday. Quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends, media day Thursday, field Saturday, defensive line, linebackers, Friday in the media room, on the field Sunday, and then DBs wrap up the week. It's interesting how they churn these guys through here. They arrive a day, and that position group that's on the field, they leave that night, and they rotate the next position group through, and it's a cycle of 5 days or so here.
Right. It's always interesting because the combine that folks see on TV is much different than the one we cover in terms of timing, meaning we're all focused on offensive linemen on Wednesday because they're in here, we're seeing, we're listening to them talk, but you don't really see them on TV on the NFL Network until Friday. Mm-hmm. So it's a much different timing on that level. And for the players, they go through a much different combine than people see on TV as well, mm-hmm. because what they actually do on the field, the players, is really maybe a tenth or a 20th of what they go through in terms of interviews, in terms of medical checkups, in terms of all the other stuff around the combine. And it's really, as people know, the interviews and the medical for the teams and the players are where, I don't want to say pressure, but that's really where they put most of the emphasis. Mm-hmm. What goes on the field, a small piece of the puzzle. The interview and the medical, a big piece of the puzzle.
And of course, each team here at the Combine can have up to 30 interviews scheduled with players. And those are scheduled out weeks, months in advance right. to make sure the players get with all the teams that want to talk to those guys. How about a few players to watch this week? You know, it's mock draft season, John. You might have heard about that.
I've heard about that.
So we've seen a lot of mock drafts, a lot of different names mocked to the Jaguars. We'll hear a bunch of those names again this week. Let's go through a few. Joey Bosa is a name that's out a lot of those places. Everybody feels the needs are pass rusher, safety. Those are the main needs for the Jaguars in this draft, it seems like. So Bosa, rush end out of Ohio State, and pretty much unanimously the top edge rusher available.
Yeah, he is, with the possible exception of Noah Spence, mm-hmm. who's another guy on our list. Joey Bosa appears to be the much safer selection. Spence has a lot of off-field stuff people know about. I think the thing that you have to be aware of is we all consider pass rusher the need and free safety the need right now before March 9th
hits.
That's right. You've got free agency coming up, which could dramatically change how Dave Caldwell feels about the intricacies of the first couple of days of the draft. If he goes out and signs two pass rushers, does that mean that Joey Bosa or DeForest Buckner or Noah Spence are still the absolute priority, or can you wait a little bit? So that's the reality. As you said, there's three or four names. Because the Jaguars are picking five, you can really narrow in on who people are going to talk about. And I think it'll come out of those names. Is Joey Bosa there? Absolutely. He's one of the guys you're considering. I think he makes sense because he's closer to the quarterback than anybody else, with the exception of Buckner. But I do believe they think that getting pass rush help will make everybody else on defense mm-hmm. better. So if I had to pick right now and Bosa's on the board, I think he's the guy.
Of course, you mentioned Spence. He started at Ohio State, was run out of the Big Ten, ended up at Eastern Kentucky, where, of course, he at least cleaned up his act last year yep. and dominated that level of football. The big part of his week, the interviews in the hotel across the street.
Yeah, and he reportedly did very well with that at the Senior Bowl, which was a big step for him. With Spence, the thing is, everybody in the NFL seems to believe he can play. He showed it at Eastern Kentucky when he dominated the level of competition. He was good in the Big Ten. He's been a five-star recruit. He's everything you want. I guess the question I have with him, and I got some questions in the Ozone about this week, if Spence checks out, if you're comfortable with him, then you automatically take him, right? Well, I don't know necessarily how much he can do in the interview process to change how teams feel about him, because you can vet him so much, but what you're concerned about is, okay, I've heard this. Is he going to do what he did before? Mm-hmm. I don't know how you answer that except to you have to risk and you have to assume that your gut feeling's right on. Mm-hmm. So it's what your level of risk tolerance is compared to what you think this kid's ability is. Ability is very high. I'm not as hung up on character as a lot of GMs would be, so I wouldn't drop him very far down the board, but I'm not sitting in that chair.
Dave Caldwell said in the past, too, there's not going to be 53 choir boys on the team. That's
right.
The way it's going to work.
Yeah, and I have no insight into really how Dave feels about him, but I do know that if you're worried about your first-round pick being on the field, that's not good. So therein lies the dilemma that you've got to deal with, and when you're the guy pulling the trigger and putting that card in on April 28th, it's tough.
Another popular name out there in mock drafts around the Jaguars, Miles Jack, the linebacker out of UCLA. He's in the mid-240s or so and could be a potential middle linebacker mm-hmm. down the road. He's outside now. He can rush. He can run. He's played running back at UCLA, too. Yep. He's got the athleticism to get it done.
It'll be interesting what he says about that on the podium. You know, he's 10 pounds heavier than Luke Kuechly, so, and he's a pretty good middle linebacker. I'm more and more of the belief that if this team, meaning the Jaguars, can improve in coverage, which Jack can definitely help you with, mm-hmm. that makes you significantly better because that's where they lacked last year. Not necessarily in coverage, but in defending the pass on third mm-hmm. down. So there is a school of thought is if we can get guys on the field who make us better in that situation, more power to us. Jack reportedly is special beyond the pale in terms of being able to cover as a linebacker. So if that's what you like, then he's a good pick for this team. I tend to doubt they go linebacker number 5. That still feels high to me because I'm an old school guy, but we'll see.
More speed there, the better, right? You got Telvin on one side running around. If you have
and
Jack,
that's the whole key. Yeah. If Jack can play the middle and you have both those guys in the field at the same time, then it makes sense. You can't have a situation where one substitutes for the other.
And then in the defensive backfield, Jalen Ramsey, Florida State, a name mocked to the Jaguars a good bit the last few weeks and certainly will be headed towards the future. He's a corner. Could he play free safety? That's the big question about Ramsey.
Well, it's going to be the question that if the Jaguars take him, they're not taking him to play exclusively at corner. They would be taking him because he can play safety mm-hmm. at some point. Now, would he do that immediately? There's a school of thought, which I believe in. If they sign a veteran free agent at safety, you could put Ramsey at the corner, move Colvin inside for a while until it shakes out where Ramsey's your free safety starter. Ramsey is the hot pick because everybody has talked about the need for free safety on this team. What Dave Caldwell have to figure out if he's got Bosa and Ramsey on the board at the same time, which I don't think will happen, but if they're both there, then he's got to determine, okay, do I think that I can get better up front and in the secondary with a pass rusher, or is the need at this position, in this defense, mm-hmm. which free safety is a need, so great that Ramsey makes sense? I think Dave's an old school guy who believes you get to the quarterback up front with pressure. He was around Freeney and Mathis and John Abraham and those guys. He's a pass rush guy at heart. I think he probably goes rusher over free safety. But guess what? He's not going to tell me that.
Probably not.
Might tell you.
I don't know about that either.
So.
By the way, Mike Mayock, one of the great analysts in the National Football League with NFL Network, always does positional rankings going into the combine. He'll do one mock draft the day before the draft, but his are positional rankings. And speaking of defense, his rankings, the edge rushers and the linebackers will show you here. You know, those are kind of the top names at those positions, and a lot of folks kind of feel the same.
An interesting thing to bear in mind with Mayock's list and others, he doesn't have Ramsey at safety. So when you see safety lists, make sure that you kind of have Ramsey on that in your mind when you watch it, because Ramsey's Mayock's top corner, but safety would definitely come into play if he comes to the Jaguars.
And you mentioned Dave Caldwell. We'll get to hear from him and Gus Bradley. They'll both be on the podium Thursday. Gus, I believe, is in the morning, probably the third person into the podium. Dave is in the afternoon, and then he'll join us live here on Jaguars.com live right after his podium hit here at the NFL Scouting Combine.
That's one of the bigger moments of the week for Dave, too.
What, the podium? Or the, oh, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, it's actually on his schedule.
Yeah.
He gets ready to join us here at the Combine. He has notes and everything.
Right.
So you mentioned it a little earlier, John. Free agency is ahead of all this.
Really,
and the Jags have a lot of money to spend. They've got to do that in free agency. March 9th is the opening of the NFL league year, and free agency begins that day as well. There's a couple of days before to negotiate, but whatever happens those first couple of days of free agency could skew what happens in the draft a little bit.
And I don't know how much Dave will get into this. I'm sure he'll talk about it some, but, you know, they've planned for a couple of years for last year and this year to be big splash years in free agency form, and that's been very well documented. The plan was to build the core in 13 and 14, and then they would have cap money. They've geared the cap to having cap money last year and $70 million this year. And that's worked out. They have that. At the same time, the cap has gone up significantly for all teams. So there are a lot of teams out there with a lot of cap money. They don't have Jaguars cap money. They don't have $70 million, but they've got $30 million or $35 million. So it's going to be really fascinating to see if the market, once March 9th hits, looks like Dave and the Jaguars thought it would look like maybe last year when they were projecting this out. You're starting to hear rumblings out of Miami that say an Olivier Vernon may be able to re-sign with the Dolphins. Well, if that happens all around the league and you've got a weaker free agent class than you thought, that's not necessarily a good thing. And you may, I think it puts some pressure on Dave and the Jaguars to be really good recruiters during this and to win some of those battles against guys that may be thinking about returning to their team. Mm-hmm. They were unable to do that with McCourty last year and with, I'm drawing a blank.
Wide receiver.
Randall Cobb. They need to win a couple of those this year because this is a year where free agency, they need to hit and they need to improve there. GMs don't love that feeling of needing to improve during free agency. Mm-hmm. So now the good news is Dave's good at that. He got Thomas in here last year. He got Jared Odrick in here last year. It's not as hard to sell Jacksonville as maybe it was 3 or 4 years ago, but it's going to be a big deal March 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. Getting guys in, getting their ears, and actually getting them here. Because they need to win a few battles because they need to get better in a couple spots on defense outside of where they will improve through the draft.
And that's when the mock drafts and everything really change. It could change a little bit if you get a big-time pass rusher or something in free agency.
And they
agency.
Get no more accurate, by the way. They change,
they change.
No more accurate.
That's so right. They could all be a little different coming up in the next few days. So plenty coming up from Indianapolis this week. We'll have Jaguars.com live every day. We'll be noon Wednesday, 3 o'clock Thursday, live with Dave Caldwell. And then Friday, Gus Bradley scheduled to join us here on the program. What do you most look forward to at the Combine?
Hanging with you.
Thanks, John.
I always enjoy, and I started this maybe 10 years ago, 4 years during the combine, listening to the guys on the podium and trying to listen to the quarterbacks and a few of the top guys. Because over time, you start to realize that how they handle that situation does give you a little bit of insight into maybe their maturity level, their readiness, their professionalism. Have they gotten with people and planned how to tackle this situation? It doesn't tell everything about a player. Just because you're good on the podium doesn't mean you're going to be a great defensive lineman. But it is interesting. It's the one chance on a lot of these guys that we have as a media, especially for the guys who cover teams, to be close and to observe a guy who might go wind up playing for Seattle for 10 years and you see him once. So it's interesting to see how they handle it. I can remember 2003, I think it was, when Polamalu came out, sitting at the old RCA Dome and listening to him and thinking, this is an impressive kid. I knew about him from him playing at USC, didn't know a whole lot. And I thought to myself, if this kid with his approach can't make it, then who can? So you get some glimpses into that. I'm anxious to listen to DeForest Buckner, Miles Jack, some guys like that who I think the Jaguars will be interested in to see how they are approaching, not necessarily the combine, but where they think they can play in the NFL, where teams are telling them they might fit. There are little flashes of insight that you can get from guys running on the podiums. That's what I'm looking forward to the most.
And remember, in years past, there have been big media scrums for the notable names, the big quarterback here with Manziel here and those guys. And then, of course, last year with Winston and Mariota rolling through here.
Probably not quite Michael Sam
a couple years
year,
ago.
Right.
Yeah, those are the big scenes, and we might not have that this year.
Probably not, because it's not a real quarterback year on that front. I mean, there's guys in the top five. But it's not like Winston and Mariota where you have just rock stars coming in here with a couple of Heismans and things like that. But every day will have its stars, and I'll be one of the guys up there with the microphone like this trying to get my, you know, trying to get it taped so I can go in and write for Jaguars.com. So no matter what, even if it's not a rock star year, there are always interesting stories coming out of this week.
One more look at the schedule this week for the players here at the Combine. The offensive linemen and running backs, they'll speak to the media Wednesday, on the field Friday. Quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends Thursday and Saturday. And then the defensive players the last 2 days in the media center. Of course, our coverage continues here from Indianapolis here at the media center. It's in the East Club at Lucas Oil Stadium. We're noon Wednesday, 3 o'clock Thursday, noon on Friday. John, you'll have writing each and every day, I'm sure.
I'll write where they want me to or not. How about that?
How about that? Indeed. Well done, and we'll look forward to a great week here in Indy.
Looking forward to it.
There it is. John Osier. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live, and we'll talk to you later this week.